The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
All of this week, we've been marking the 10th anniversary of the marriage equality referendum. Many campaigners say there's still work to be done to create a more equal society. Our reporter Josh Crosby has been meeting with some of those who are having issues with parental rights and who are working to combat a recent rise in homophobia. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, 10 years on, what are the problems that still exist for the LGBT plus community?
Well, I know you've been hearing different stories all week, Pat, but I was really surprised when I started working on this to hear from those who would have been campaigning at the time of the referendum that they actually feel less safe now and are receiving more abuse online or on the streets than what they would have a decade ago. So yes, look, of course, thousands of couples, just under 6,000 same-sex couples have been married since 2015, but many say there are still multiple factors at play that make them feel, I suppose, unequal and at a disadvantage, especially in the area of parenting. And I'll get to all that in a minute. But to find out about the day-to-day challenges facing LGBT plus people, and particularly young people who are still finding their place in the world, I spoke with Maninye Griffith, who's the CEO of Belong2 and was also the director of marriage equality at the time of the referendum. Belong2 research shows that 75% of young LGBT people don't feel safe in school, and one in three will miss school due to the behaviour they receive. Maninye starts off by telling me how the result of the referendum changed her life.
So a few days later, I was going off to a conference in Washington, D.C. to talk about the win. And my partner at the time, my now wife, Clodagh, dropped me off and we gave each other a kiss goodbye. And it was really the first time I'd done that without looking over my shoulder to make sure nobody was looking, because I felt Ireland had said yes and I could be free to be myself.
What are the current barriers facing the LGBTQ plus community?
Well, the big thing to say is, first of all, for the first maybe 5 years after the referendum, we saw huge progress being made in terms of equality for LGBT people. For many of us, including my own family, our child now is recognised as having two legal parents. About 5 years ago then, the temperature started to change. We started to notice an increase in anti-LGBT sentiment and language, and the discourse around LGBT people really started to change, heavily influenced by what was happening in the US and the UK. So what we've seen over the last number of years is a plummeting in terms of the mental health and well-being of younger LGBT people and trans people here in Ireland. We are now seeing an increase of anti-LGBT abuse, harassment and even violence online, in our schools, on our streets. It's having a devastating impact on the mental health and well-being of younger LGBT people. So they're experiencing this in a way that is really at odds with the messaging of the referendum, which said clearly to people, LGBT people, we see you, we recognise you, we want to protect you, you are equal. That's not the Ireland that they're experiencing today.
And that's the CEO of Belong2, Maninye Griffith. What about the parental rights issue? Did you meet any LGBT plus parents?
I did, Pat. I've actually met with a few parents this week just for the different pieces I'm working on. And look, like every family, they all have their own individual set of circumstances. Some are satisfied with the parental rights they have over their children and have managed to have both parents, that's female same-sex parents, on the child's birth cert following the introduction of the Children and Family Relationships Act in 2020. But then since those rules came in, others fall under different categories. Renee Von Medding is the CEO of Equality for Children and has three children with her wife. Renee is actually having a meeting with the Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, on this very issue this afternoon, and says there is emotional trauma from the inequalities.
We got married when I was 5 months pregnant, and it was one of the best times of our lives, thinking that we were going to just be a normal, boring family like everyone else, and we had no idea the legal struggles that lay ahead of us. Right before our first daughter was born in 2016, we found out that actually marriage equality had done nothing to advance the rights of children born to LGBTQ plus couples. And we found out that when I gave birth, I was going to have to register as a single parent, despite being a married woman, despite my wife being our child's genetic mother. We used her eggs, donor sperm, and I carried the pregnancies, but under the current Irish law, I would be seen as her biological parent and her mother, and there was no way for my wife to have any legal connection with her. That was 2016. In 2018, we were lucky enough to have another little girl, and the same thing had to happen again. Then over the years, and campaigning and the work that we do with Equality for Children, Irish Gay Dads and LGBT Ireland, we were able to advance the legislation so that in 2020 a piece came in called the Children and Family Relationships Act, and that meant that any same-sex female couple that met the criteria of that law was able to gain recognition for their family. So at that time, my wife and I qualified for recognition of our children under that legislation, and we were able to go to court almost 6 years after we first became parents and have a judge sign a piece of paper saying that my wife was the legal parent of our daughters, which was incredible, and we were able to then get their birth certs reissued. At that point, we thought that our family would be sorted, so to speak. But then a few years later, we had the crazy idea to have another baby. And we ended up becoming pregnant with our last little boy called Ali. He is a year old now. Because he was conceived after that law came in, he is treated differently. Ali does not meet the criteria because we did not use an Irish fertility clinic. So despite the fact that he is within the same married family unit, despite the fact that his siblings are genetically identical to him, despite the fact that his unrecognized parent is actually his genetic parent, he only has me as his legal parent. And if I were to walk out into the street today and get hit by a bus, he would be orphaned and he would have no legal connection to the rest of his family.
So 10 years on from the marriage referendum, what's your appeal now? What are you going to be asking the minister when you meet?
I urge Minister Carol McNeill to imagine if she was in the position. She is a mother, and for her to imagine if her child was being discriminated against, was being treated differently, would she not do everything in her power to fix it?
The CEO of Equality for Children in Avon Medding. So, Josh, what is the legal advice here for LGBT plus couples who are having a child through surrogacy? What is allowed and what is not?
Well, Pat, look, we could talk for an hour about the different laws that apply and how they will be changing under the Human Assisted Reproductive Act. Now, when that comes into effect is still uncertain. The Minister for Health was asked in the Dáil, and in a parliamentary answer, the Minister responded saying her own target is that it'll be enacted by December. So look, there'll be new legislation couples will have to follow and abide by, whether same-sex or heterosexual, when trying to have a child through surrogacy. And it can get very complex and difficult to even explain in a short space of time. But to hear from someone who specialises in this field, I met with solicitor Fiona Duffy, who practices in the area of assisted human reproduction, which includes donor conception and surrogacy and other related matters. Fiona starts off by explaining some of the legislation that currently applies to female same-sex couples.
The issues that are causing the most amount of difficulty are that the child has to be conceived in a fertility clinic in Ireland and the child must be born in Ireland. But if you have a situation, say for example, you've got a couple, female couple living abroad who have fertility treatment abroad, and even if the baby is born here, both of them will not be on that birth certificate.
So how does it differ then for men?
Two men, not only do they need an egg donor, but they also need a surrogate. So under Irish law, the woman who gives birth to the child is the mother of the child. Say, for example, the two men go to America, for example, to have a child. They will have gone through a process there. Surrogate is independently represented. They will have gone through probably a pre-birth order, which would be granted in the court, and possibly also a post-birth order. But once the baby is born in America, both intending men are put on the birth certificate and they're both named there. The birth mother is not a parent under American law, but as soon as the two men arrive back in Ireland with the baby, the Irish state doesn't recognise either of them as a parent until such time as the biological father has obtained a declaration of parentage, a guardianship order, and an order in relation to acquiring an Irish passport for the child. Currently, there is absolutely no provision for the second intending father to be a parent under Irish law.
What's the reasoning for certain clauses or limitations on the Assisted Human Reproductive Act?
For future surrogacy or prospective surrogacy, there are very strict rules and regulations. Commercial surrogacy is going to be banned. So that, in effect, will close off nearly every international country for any Irish person wishing to undergo surrogacy.
That's Fiona Duffy, a solicitor at Patrick F. O'Reilly's in Dublin. So plenty of intricacies and complexities there, Josh. Who else did you speak to?
Yeah, so look, I said for the week that's in it, we should hear from someone who the referendum has had a huge positive impact on. Just to say there as well, at the end of that clip from Fiona, I actually went back to clarify with her on the point she made about international surrogacy basically in effect coming to an end due to the new rules around commercial surrogacy. Fiona says it will affect mostly everywhere but Canada, where there is altruistic surrogacy, but it can be difficult to find someone to carry a child there. In some cases, it can take 2 to 3 years. But to finish on a positive note, Pat, I spoke with Eddie McGuinness, a long-time LGBT activist and founder of Outing the Queer Festival, to hear how the referendum changed his own circumstances. He said, we've come a long way now since his first Pride, where he attended in 1993, the same year Ireland decriminalised homosexuality. Eddie says he was at the Eurovision when the results of the referendum were announced.
I got civil partnered several years before what you would call marriage equality. And then, of course, I got the upgrade the following year after to my amazing husband, John. On our journey for equality, it was not good. And it was up to us to actually literally knock on people's door and ask, do you mind if I marry the person I love and somebody I have fallen in love with, no matter who their sexuality or gender was? And I always put it down, it was people power. It was people right around the country, on the ground, went out and did that and were not afraid to do that.
I know weddings bring ceremonies and parties, but aside from that, what else did it bring you, Eddie? Like, there's plenty more benefits to it as well, like on the legal side.
One thing that I always remember is if I got engaged to my husband or my partner, I couldn't say I got engaged. They actually took those terminologies out. And also where we were living, you were cohabiting. It was no longer your home. And that is something that we actually have to realise is they really wanted to put you back down to the basic, that you did not have the same rights. And I'm going to use the word heterosexual couples out there. I've always remembered they used to give people a license for a dog, but they wouldn't give a license for two people who loved each other, who just happened to be the same sex or gender, and give them a license to actually say, we actually love each other and we want to get married.
Festival director and founder of Outing the Queer Festival.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.